Welcome to Paperback Bromance. This is a podcast where we read modern and classic romance novels and give them in-depth reviews. But here's the thing. They can only be secondhand novels. We have to drink boxed wine. And Matt has read the book. I'm David Joseph, the guy who has to read all this smut. And I'm here
with Matt.
And I'm Phoebe, who reads the steamy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Paperback Bromance. As always, I am Matt, and I am joined here with David and Phoebe. Today, we are reviewing Another New Year's Eve by Phyllis Houseman. How's it going, guys?
Hey, it's hey, going, man. It's going.
Love it.
Oh, I'm glad you love it, because I'm fucking pissed off.
Oh. Well, I didn't mean I love the book. I just love, like, you know, podcasting.
We can't love every single book, Matt. I'm sorry,
well,
dude.
No, yeah. I'm pissed off because you told me how terrible this book was, and I told you immediately to stop reading.
Yeah.
I will get another New Year's Eve book.
Which he did.
And
which he
did not listen to me.
I was bored at work, and quite frankly, dear listeners, the story got its claws in me. And I had to see how it ended.
Yeah.
So now,
terribly,
you get to suffer through it.
Yeah. Well, it happened.
Don't read it. Don't read it. Save yourself the trouble.
Just gonna move on.
On this episode, we are going all the way back to 1996.
So far,
where we meet Eve Gray, a number cruncher in a government research facility. That's where she works. We don't know what kind of government or research or facility it is, but we know that there's numbers involved.
It's research.
It's very important number research.
Very vague and numbery.
And she has one goal this year, and that is to get over her feelings for her very married colleague, Sam Davidson.
After breaking up with a fiance like a year ago, too.
Yeah, he just joined up with this team. He's super married. He's super handsome. But during the New Year's Eve party at the office and during the test for the new tech that they're...
Mysterious tech that they're...
Yeah, that they're doing.
Testing.
I think it's supposed to be communications.
Because you're supposed to test tech at a New Year's Eve party?
Definitely. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Because if you're having a New Year's Eve party, you should definitely be...
Or in your employees, whatever
and
they're doing.
And that's the theme of the New Year's Eve party is that they're going to be able to like talk to the world, right? So
they're trying to invent the internet?
You know, dude, I did not make that connection.
Wow. Like Starlink, what are we doing?
Oh, Starlink is just a gleam in Elon's shitty eye. Anyway, so
he's gonna cancel us because you said that. I'm glad we don't have an X account.
Nor will we ever.
No, we will not.
So during this test and on New Year's Eve, there is a earthquake.
Oh shit.
Yes. Okay. An earthquake that triggers something and it causes Eve to fall and bump her head.
Oh no.
Bump
and
her noggin.
She is propelled 3 days into the past.
Oh.
And comes to her senses in Sam's passionate embrace.
Oh.
Her married coworker.
Getting super kissed. I mean, like, not even like a little kiss. To her. We're talking like
super kissed big time.
6 to noon kiss.
Yo.
Oh, for real.
Gross.
That was gross.
That was disgusting.
So now she needs to sort through her memories to figure out what happened and how she needs to make things right. And that, dear listeners, brings us to our first segment without the tongue, whatever
girl,
that
please,
was.
Don't do that again. Stop. I already asked you. Stop. Ew.
That
Ew.
Was so Hannibal Lecter.
Gross.
Hello, Clarice.
Ew. Move on.
We're going to move to our next segment. Matt explains the plot. But dear listeners, as always, this show is filled with spoilers.
Yes.
And if you want to take this journey with us,
don't
hit pause. Don't.
Don't do it.
Do not waste money on this book. If you'd like to
I got it on eBay for like 87 cents. Yeah. You can have my copy, please. Yeah.
Hit pause. Grab a copy. We'll be here when you get back.
Don't.
But don't. Just listen to this.
Don't hit pause. Just listen to the podcast. Don't read the book. Just
right,
we'll
Matt,
tell you all you need to know.
Tell me about this character, Eve.
All right. Eve is workaholic number cruncher. She's about 21 years old, by my estimation.
Okay.
23.
Right. How did that happen? Oh, yeah.
Young 20s. Okay.
Dude, 2 years off. You were pretty the closest good. Without going over. Pretty you won good. The Showcase Showdown.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
Showcase Showdown.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Bob Barker. You won a new car. Just kidding.
Did they ever give away a car?
Sometimes they gave away
a car. Oh, shit. I need to cross.
Yeah. No. We got Drew Carey now. No more Bob. It doesn't have the spray tan, though. Anyway, we're going to move on. Eve is...
digressing.
She's a workaholic 23-year-old. She's in charge of the party planning committee. Shout out to my Office fans out there.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. She's the Pam Beasley. She's a curvy. Curvaceous Pam Beasley here.
Pam's curvaceous.
Yeah.
I picture Eve as a little bit more curvaceous, but I don't know.
Oh, you know what we should do about that? We should talk about the cover of the book.
The cover of the book is a very not curvaceous woman.
No, that is...
kissing a handsome man in a red top hat.
Let me look at that.
Yeah, so Phoebe, if you would be so kind as a curvaceous woman yourself...
I am.
She's supposed to have some big old hips and some big old titty. Okay.
So...
Does it look like New Year's or fucking Christmas?
It definitely is reading Christmas because he's wearing a very fake top hat.
He's got some big Nick
that's
energy.
Red. And has a green...
It's almost like a Shriner's hat.
Yeah. And it's got a green bow around it. Well, like, all right. And he's wearing a tuxedo, essentially. And the woman is a very skinny.
We're talking 90s skinny.
Blonde.
I hate it.
Wearing a green dress. And she's holding one of those, like, New Year's, like, things. The horn things.
Oh, party poppers?
Yeah,
or something like
it
that.
Was whatever.
Can you see her hip?
No.
Okay, fairly. There we go.
No.
Yeah, that's all we... Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely was thinking this book took place in the 1920s, just looking at this. Again, I only read the Steamy, so like I had no context other than the book.
Who the cover. Fuck wears a tuxedo to a work New Year's Eve party?
Thank you.
Also, yeah. Who has a work Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve party? Yeah. What are we doing?
I don't know.
It's a work holiday party.
New
and
Year's
that's
Day
it.
Is a
you have weird
law.
Awkward sex. You maybe do some cocaine in the bathroom.
Yeah, definitely in the 90s.
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
Cocaine
okay.
definitely happened.
No, you got me on board.
Yeah. No. No. There.
No. What?
Okay. Okay.
We
you know,
digress.
You know we did.
That's the problem with
Phoebe,
cocaine.
We digress.
Is that I fucking love it.
We're digressing, boys.
Matt, tell me about this main character.
She's a workaholic. She's 23. She is, I don't know what she does for this company. Like, is she in HR? She's in programming? Like,
number cruncher.
Number crunching. She's an accountant. Okay, yeah. Behind the scenes office. She's, like, trying to program all of this shit and plan this party with her coworkers that are very gossipy, and she's not into it.
Right?
She's recently coming out of a horrible end to an engagement, which
we'll talk about that.
Know all about that. Don't don't even get me started.
Yeah.
But she's got this crush on the new guy who's 9 years older than her and very married. Does she care? Yes. But she's, you know, I get the feeling, is she a virgin?
No.
Okay. She's just very undersexed at this point, and she is having some feverish sex dreams about Mr. Sam here, who has just come into the equation. Oh, Sam.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah, it's like Frodo, you know. She wants his business, and he is not
available.
Yeah. Yeah. His doors are closed, but she wants it.
At least in this world.
And now, yeah, then, so earthquake disrupts this government experiment.
And so you get, like, jarred, dude, into this other storyline.
Yeah, so we're dealing with her in multiple senses. There's the beginning where we meet her, mm-hmm. and there's that Eve. But then there's other Eves across multiple different universes.
Essentially,
and she kind of it reminds me of string theory. Like this, she's just bouncing around different strings.
But this Eve always stays the same Eve.
She's the same, but she's aware that things are changing, which is weird because it seems like no one else is.
Mm-hmm.
So she's Eve. She's a hard worker. She's got a thirst for love. She's trying to find it. Of course, we start out, she wants it from a married man.
She's looking for love in all the wrong places.
Is it ongoing trend? In these books? Yeah.
You don't say.
Oh, yeah. My word.
She's been working her ass off to get this party ready. And she's like, yeah, I don't even know if I'm going to go. I think I'm just going to go. And they're like, you got to go. You planned it. All these gossip queens, you know, her friend group here. I forget what they call themselves.
Oh, man. The Monterey Yentas,
right. Yeah. So she goes home to get ready. One of her friends is just like, oh, get something, you know, cleavagey. Let them titties out, girl. You know, you get yourself a man. And, you know, she gets dressed and she doesn't wear a titty dress, but no. She does wear something that hugs her curves, accentuates them. And it's very womanly. It's described very feminine.
Which they did not accentuate on the cover of the book.
No.
Maybe not a sexy dress, but a feminine. Like it accentuates her features. You can
see her fucking ribcage through the dress in this cover. It's awful.
But it's showing off her hips and her booty and her titties, but they're not hanging out. You know, right. They're just hugged by it. And it's just like, ooh, all right. You can tell she's got some nice bosoms under there.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's, you know, leaving a lot to the imagination.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so she shows up about half an hour late with like a taco salad dish that she's prepared.
And that's the character that you're describing?
That's the tacos? Caroline. Yeah, yeah. She's okay. Running late to her own party. Maybe she's eating the tacos and that's where she gets the curtain.
All right.
But yeah, she doesn't want to be there. She's, you know, even though she's been working so hard on this, she's like, yeah, I'm single. I don't want to be dealing with it. I don't want to run into this guy that I have an aggressive crush on and his wife because they're both going to be there. How am I going to deal with that?
Did you get to meet the wife?
I didn't get to meet the wife.
Oh, that is the second chapter. Okay.
Yeah, that's the next chapter, which I guess, David, why don't you take it away?
So I like Eve. She's a complex character. She has great relationships with all of her coworkers.
Great curves too, apparently.
Apparently some great curves. And even at 23, she seems older and more mature for a woman of her age. She is a fantastic musician and has an eidetic memory, which they kind of get. They make sure that you know that from the beginning of the story because she gets to relive all the good and all the bad in vivid detail.
Oh, dear.
Okay. And dear listeners, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
All right.
And it also makes her equally fantastic at her job. She's a number cruncher. So, you know, spreadsheets and all that jazz.
Having a great memory is.
Yes. Well, not only a great memory, an eidetic memory.
Phoebe loves spreadsheets.
I fucking love spreadsheets.
Phoebe goes from 6 to noon when it comes to spreadsheets.
I really do.
She was working on spreadsheets the other day. Oh, she's like, oh, spreadsheets.
Yeah.
So at the same time, a little of that 20s immaturity comes through. She goes from really angry to really dependent on that certain hunky coworker that we're, you know, maybe she's going to be with, maybe she won't.
Oh, Sam.
Oh, yeah. Sam. All in all, she is a compassionate and forgiving person. Overly forgiving, my guy. Mm. Like, dude.
Yeah.
I almost want her to reel it back, but no, I can't. No, no.
No, you can't do that.
She can, like I said, she can recall in stark detail the good and the bad that happened to her. So even though she's able to do that, she's still able to forgive. So this woman is fantastic. And that memory, that eidetic memory makes her a stronger person. At least that's what I gathered in the 250 pages of this book. But that's
short pages, but it's dense.
It's dense. It's there's a lot to it. And that leads us to our next segment, which is Matt Splains This Plot.
Oh, this plot. This is okay. Usually I'm pretty spot on with these, but this one, I guarantee you I'm going to fuck this up a bit.
Maybe.
All right. So, yeah, we start off, we've got our not Christmas party. Sorry. It's because the cover of the book makes it look like it's a Christmas party.
It really does, with no curves.
No curves. But it's a New Year's Eve party. She's planning it. They're doing some kind of weird launch of a new prototype something.
It's like a world communication thing.
Yeah. It's Starlink internet. It's AOL
ICQ?
Instant Messenger. I don't know. It's something.
I think it was ICQ.
It's Yahoo Messenger. Whatever it is, you know. But the government created, so, you know, worse.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Yeah, everyone loves something made by the government.
It's great. We know Matt can associate with that because
everything goes to the lowest bidder, and it's just like okay, military grade.
It was the military.
Yeah. So they're
thank you
doing
for your service, by the way. Thank you.
No, I didn't do that for thanks, but thank you for appreciating it.
We do.
I'm not gonna thank you.
You don't. Your tax dollars thank me.
That's why I don't need to.
Right.
Okay, moving on.
So we move on. We are planning this party. They're doing something with their new technology when an earthquake just happens because it's California.
Oh,
this is
kind of
central California.
Of course. Yeah.
San Francisco, Monterey Bay area. Yeah, there's a big fault line out there. Not sure that, there's a,
They make note of it in the book.
Yeah, they're a big old fault line.
They don't talk about that.
Well, that's where specifically the fault line is, but yeah.
We digress.
We digress. Sorry, I'm trying to get into the science of it. Oh, I'm explaining, to our dear listeners.
We're smutty bronance.
All right, I thought we wanted to get into tectonic plates and go scientific.
No,
science has no ground here.
Just smut.
It's not sexy.
Just smut.
The trench can be sexy. You can fill that up.
Can you, though?
It's like, okay, boys.
Okay, sorry, Phoebe.
Children, let's go.
Big earthquake. Fucks everything up. Everything goes haywire.
Yep.
She travels to another universe. I mostly relate this to string theory.
What?
I don't know how the electronics go crazy. Like they're building a time machine. I don't know. Doc Brown shows up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a DeLorean at one point.
Oh,
there's
sweet.
Not.
Oh.
No, there's not.
Oh.
I just wish there was. It would have made the book a lot better.
Okay.
But she falls, hits her head, wakes up 3 days earlier.
Oh, God.
In another parallel universe, hence why I'm relating this to string theory. And now she's in the arms of her crush, and this continues to happen. Gets super kissed, big time kiss,
super kissed,
extra smooch. Yeah, hot
is
and heavy.
Is that a thing? Can I be super kissed?
our first
kiss was a super kiss.
I'm gonna need to get the spandex on.
I'm going to leave the room.
Not
and then
right.
Find out.
Settled.
6 to noon. Oh, go ahead, Matt.
So they keep bouncing back and forth between different universes, and they're humping. They don't talk about it. I feel like they're doing it.
Right.
We just keep going. And their relationship is different in every universe, but it's like they're always meant to be together.
So we're spanning multiple universes.
Oh,
I mean, there's at least two.
Okay, all right.
That's multiple by definition.
You read the last chapter, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm supposed to read the last.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I needed to because I'm glad I did because otherwise I'd be like, this is just like it's Die Hard, but without any of the good parts. It's just a New Year's Eve party and there's no terrorists or Don McLean.
Well, that was Christmas Eve, but hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why it's like a worse version.
Oh, crap.
I love the fact that you brought up Don McLean for no reason.
Just because John he killed McClane. His wife. I meant John McLean.
Oh, right on. He didn't kill his wife.
Yeah.
No,
well,
he didn't.
Don
he saved
didn't
his wife.
Either.
No, he just pushed
tried.
Her off a mountain.
He definitely tried.
A couple times.
Yeah.
No, but Holly, she was a number cruncher working at Nakatomi Plaza. So there are some similarities to Die Hard.
Yeah. Oh,
this is just the boring version. And it was also California.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Now I need
to know. I'm not the insane person for bringing up Die Hard.
So like
no.
when
or Bruce Willis
Die
and John
Hard
McClane.
Was definitely released before this book, right?
1989.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So like maybe there was inspiration.
70? Yeah. I always wanted to be
I wouldn't doubt it.
I always wanted to be John
Matt,
McClane
do you remember how he stress relieves after the jet lag for the jet lag?
Yeah. He takes a shower in her office.
No.
What?
No. What's the other?
Did he do no.
What?
And this is,
I know
this
he
is why I'm gonna Matt explain the plot.
That was definitely
he takes off
also.
His shoes.
Oh yeah, he takes off his shoes
and knots his toes on the carpet.
Right. Yeah, you gotta rub those toes out.
And it is such a
the
weird
hell?
Scene.
Yeah, he's
to
cracking
watch.
His toe knuckles.
Oh, okay.
No, there's no cracking.
Well,
no.
There should have been.
He's just like rubbing his toes on the carpet.
Well,
he's
been, they're probably swollen from the cross.
Why are we
flight?
Talking about Die Hard?
None of this makes sense.
This would be a better episode if we were talking about Die Hard. instead of this book.
Maybe next time.
There are some similarities.
You ready for me to?
Yes. I'm ready for you to
yeah,
take
David,
over.
Yeah, David, let's hear it.
Otherwise, I'm just
Phoebe. You ready for story time?
I'm ready for story time. Please tell me it's not like Die Hard.
It's
not that I don't love
it. Is
Die
not.
Hard,
I absolutely love Die Hard. That's what I wrap my Christmas presents to.
Right, right.
So after the quake and the smooch, Sam whisks Eve off to the facility doctor to determine does she have a concussion,
right,
or maybe some obvious serious head injuries.
Yeah,
and she doesn't.
Some CTE, maybe?
Nope. She's just got a little abrasion.
No, I've got the CTE.
So he orders her off to go home and rest.
Yeah.
And he even offers to drive her there. Oh. And Sam's like, no, I'm doing it.
Oh.
He gets really weird, awkward, aggressive. And loud.
Okay.
I'll drive her and her curves. Let's pack her up in the wagon. I'll bring her there.
There you go, man.
That reminds me of Mac from, like, Always Sunny's. When he meets the baseball player with who was it, the Silver
Chase
Fox?
Utley.
Oh my God. I just want to have a crack.
We'll just have
you.
A couch. A couch we shall have.
We shall have.
We digress.
Sorry.
We digress.
That was my fault.
So, Sam brings Eve home and she's like bumping into shit because the furniture is not where it's supposed to be, which is really weird.
Weird.
Yeah. She's like,
Not because of her bodacious booty.
I didn't get a Christmas tree. Why is there a fucking Christmas tree here?
And she made reference in the beginning about how she regretted not putting up a Christmas tree.
Very much so. Very much. We'll get to that. So she's feeling like maybe she's got some type of weird amnesia and she's losing days.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And Sam stays while she rests.
Yeah.
Like the doctor advised. Okay. Right. So he like is kicking back, listening to her music.
The doctor advises her married coworker to just stay at her house and just.
You got it, dude. And he like kicks back. He's like making coffee and listening to Mozart and reading some of her sci-fi books, all the good stuff.
I couldn't have anyone else.
He literally made himself at home. It was really fucking weird.
Where's his wife in all this? How did he explain that to
we'll
her?
Get to that. We'll get to that. So Eve has a nightmare.
Oh no.
And Sam wakes, like he hears her having this nightmare.
Yeah.
And he wakes her up with like terms of endearment, like calling her sweetheart.
Darling.
There's no trying to slip into anything. Just all these like, you're my sweetheart, my darling, and my love, and all this. It's really weird because he's supposed to be married.
Right.
So she pretty much tells him, like, you need to back the fuck off.
Slow your roll, player.
Yeah, no, your roll. Back off. And he's like, okay, cool. I made you coffee and a cheese omelet in the kitchen. Why don't you come into the kitchen?
Ooh, just cheese, though?
Dude, have you never had a cheese omelet?
I've had a cheese omelet, but like throw some ham or bacon in there.
No, I'm sorry, man.
Some little sausage.
When you wake up from an emotional turmoil, the only thing you need is a cheese omelet.
All right.
And it is up to you as to what that cheese is. I couldn't even get through the whole thing.
I'd really like ham and Swiss.
Well, you can pine for the ham and just enjoy the Swiss.
I feel like I'm being deprived of good protein, but okay. No, I feel like I'm missing something. I just want a decent omelet.
No, just move on. Please.
Well, did he cream in her coffee at least?
No, not at all. Not at all. Hands are a paper. It's like, here's your evening paper, and then leaves her to do the dishes.
What?
She has to do her own dishes?
I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God.
After a head injury, she's got to do the dishes?
Yeah.
I'm so glad you picked up on that.
That's rude.
He's just like, I made you your omelet. Here's some coffee and a fucking newspaper.
Oh, my God.
Have a good one.
Jeez.
I'll pick you up in the morning to bring you back to work.
He probably used like 20 dishes to make an omelet.
That's what I'm assuming.
Like every possible pan. He was whisking the eggs in a bowl. Then he didn't use that to mix in the
milk
cheese.
Milk and the cheese.
Sure. All those things. Anyway. But then Eve looks down at the paper and she looks at the paper and she looks at the date and she goes, what the actual fuck? And runs to the TV. And do you remember back in the
90s? December 28th on the newspaper.
Do you remember back in the 90s when you could turn on the TV and go to the channel and it was just like what was playing?
Yeah.
And what time of day it was and what the weather was?
That's what happened.
Yeah. So she has gone through.
Yeah, they reference it in the book. They say the remote control device.
Yeah, the remote control device.
We used to call it a clicker or a zapper.
Yeah, she has gone 3 days into the past.
Oh, huh.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't know why.
Right.
We don't know how.
Yeah.
We don't know what she's going to do with this knowledge.
Yeah.
But armed with this knowledge, she goes to work the next day. She calls up, what's his nuts, Sam, is like, I got a cab to work. Fuck off.
Yeah. 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 Don't pick me up.
Don't pick me up.
Yeah.
Fucking weirdo.
And she's like, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to warn the world about what has happened. And what's going to happen? The earthquake is going to happen.
There's an earthquake and I hit my head. Everybody watch out.
And Sam's just like, Eve, yo, nobody has any idea what the fuck you're talking about. She's like, well, then I'm going to go to Berkeley and warn my sister.
Well, hold on. Hold on. So
what?
She hit her head, mm-hmm. right, during the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought her home.
Yep.
And it's 3 days earlier.
Yep.
So the earthquake hasn't happened yet.
It has not.
Then why is she home with a busted noggin, and why was he at her house?
That he was not. He left that evening. He went home.
So she calls him up and said, hey, I know I hit my head and you brought me home. Don't pick me up.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'm just so going to pick you up. And she's like, no, don't.
Why is he picking her up?
Because
maybe, if she hasn't hit her head yet.
Maybe concussed.
But she hasn't hit her head yet because the earthquake hasn't happened.
I know.
What the fuck?
Okay, you guys know.
The continuity is bad.
So I will give credit where credit is due when we read a good book. This is not a good
book. No, in the book, she just fell and hit her head. There's been no earthquake.
Okay.
She's just a clumsy bitch.
So everyone thinks she's crazy. It's fine. Okay, yeah. Moving on.
So I want to talk about the sister real quick.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
Sister in Berkeley.
What's her name?
Right, because I can't remember.
Oh, it's fine.
It's not important.
No one cares. Got it.
So in the main storyline, her sister is this like pudgy. She's been like, you know, shadowed by Eve this entire
she's
time.
She's pudgy, not curvaceous.
Pudgy, not curvaceous.
Okay.
Eve is a piano prodigy. And her parents want her to become like the next Mozart.
Like a savant. Okay.
Yes.
Got
it. So her sister is taking a backseat.
Very much so.
Not attractive and not talented.
But she's a hell of an artist.
Oh.
So she decides when Eve goes off to Berkeley to not do music.
Uh-huh.
No.
But to do painting instead.
No, Eve is going to do numbers.
Oh.
She's going to become a statistician.
Interesting.
Her sister is going to do the art.
I love that.
Leaves for Paris.
Who goes to Berkeley to do numbers?
I have no idea.
Dumb.
Maybe it was Berkeley. I can't. This place sucked, dude. It was somewhere in fucking California.
So bad.
I told you to stop.
Her sister. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I'm going to acknowledge that. Her sister went off to Paris to become an artist of art. Okay. And
an artist of art.
Then her parents die in a fiery plane crash.
Oh,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
What?
And her sister comes back. This is like 2 years later.
Oh, okay.
And she's all kinds of slim and beautiful.
Oh.
Yeah. And Eve, at this point, has herself a fiance that they met during college.
Which didn't work out.
No, it didn't work out. Matt, why didn't it work out?
Oh, was he banging someone else?
No, he went and picked up Eve's sister at the airport.
No.
And they fell in love at first sight.
Gross.
I have.
Where?
Do that.
So after. Okay. Okay.
I need to digress real quick.
No, hold on. Hold on. This is why I kept reading this book.
Oh, God.
Eve and her sister go through her parents' funeral. Eve has her fiance bring her sister to said funeral.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where does Eve find her fiance the next morning?
Banging in their parents' bedroom.
It sure as shit isn't in the guest room.
Oh, my God. Their bed? The parents' bed?
No. The guest room.
Just her sister's bed. Because they fell in love on sight.
Gross.
Yep. Go for it, Matt.
So I need to digress real quick.
Digress.
We'll allow it.
I had an English teacher in high school.
Okay.
She had an identical twin. Yes, I know. We all had a few of those, I think.
You don't say.
She had an identical twin.
Okay. Didn't have one of those, but yeah.
Her fiance left her for her twin sister.
The fuck?
Married her twin sister. They lived in the same house, mind you. They had a big farmhouse. They lived with their mother.
Okay.
And the two sisters. So he literally just changes bedrooms.
That's so weird.
So sad.
I don't know how anybody could do that.
Hold on.
Wait, okay. There's more?
They get divorced. Does it again?
Wait, does he like her?
No. Not him. My teacher's new fiance marries her sister.
No.
This happened twice to this poor woman.
That's awful. What?
Yes. Dear listeners, she had, this has nothing to do with the book.
Nothing to do with the book, but the book is terrible and this story is better.
Way better.
This poor woman had two fiancés leave her for her twin sister.
Identical twins?
And they, yes.
Oh my God.
And they lived in the same house.
Stop it.
This is what these books drag up.
I am so sorry.
This teacher tried to sleep with our good friend Mike.
Oh,
after we graduated.
Boston Mike?
Hey,
yeah.
Me.
No.
Listen. That would have been a win for him.
That would have.
That's okay.
Anyway, we digress.
we just digress so much. Okay. Okay.
Again,
so
Sam, I'll write a book about that instead.
I would really love it if you wrote a book. Just
so they go to help the sister, right?
Okay.
And who answers the door? But Steven, the guy that she was supposed to marry.
Oh.
And he's like, so Matt, this
Steven. Yeah.
Steven.
I can't.
Cheated on his sister.
Oh, gross.
So his sister isn't even, her sister's not there.
Oh.
Because Steven cheated on her as well.
Oh.
He cheats on Eve with her sister, and then he cheats on her sister.
On her sister with some rando.
Oh my God.
So they drove all the way from fucking San Francisco to Berkeley to warn her sister. And it turns out we have no idea where she is.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Right.
Okay.
So Sam.
What's happening?
They're supposed to leave. They're supposed to drive back to San Francisco. And Sam finally confesses to the fact, we preluded to this in the beginning, that Sam's wife died. No, we did not.
I didn't know that.
Sam's wife died.
In the earthquake?
No.
What the fuck is it?
3 years prior.
What?
So he hates driving. There's no reason that they should be in fucking Berkeley.
Wow.
Because he hates driving. You know, he wanted to drive Eve because she had the head injury.
Ah.
Right?
That makes sense, yeah.
And it was like, I'm either going to take you to the doctor or drive you to go save your sister from the earthquake, which
that no one believes.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So
he confesses, like, I don't like driving because my wife died on the night of our wedding.
What?
He was driving.
Their wedding
and
night?
Turned. They were in Australia.
Yeah.
They were in Australia because that's where his wife was from. And he turned left instead of right.
This is lost. What are we doing?
Drove into a car, killed his new bride.
Because they drive on the other
and
side of the road.
That's why this Sam is not married. Because they take this hotel room. They decide not to, I'm going to back it up.
Yeah.
They decide not to drive back
to
Berkeley because Sam is super scared of driving.
Yeah.
And Eve realizes that he does not have a wife. He is single Sam.
Oh, no.
Single Sam.
Single Sam.
And they totally bang in this hotel room,
which
we'll talk about.
Yeah.
We will talk about
that.
But after said intimacies, she is walking through. They rent a suite. So she's walking through like the dressing area
a little bit sideways
and sees all of these mirrors and realizes exactly what happened to her. She has been moved to an alternate reality.
Oh, no.
String theory.
Very much so. Very much so. Matt Sam.
Matt Sam.
Matt Sam.
Matt Sam.
Don't call me Matt Sam.
Matt Sam.
I'm not Sam.
You are now.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So she realizes that she is not in the same reality. This is not the same Sam. And she tries to convince him after they've banged. And she's like, look at these mirrors. I've moved to a different reality after I bunked my head. And he's like, no, you're not.
He's like, those are just mirrors.
You're fucking crazy. And she's like, oh, yeah? Well, your wife's favorite dessert was a pavlova.
Oh.
Which is the national dessert of Australia. And he's like, how did you know that?
That's a pretty easy guess, though.
And he's like, absolutely, but he's completely convinced.
I mean, if she knows she's from Australia, like that's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, man. So they go to, so at this point, she gets like this like superhero complex and she's like, I need to go and inform all the people that this earthquake is going
to
happen.
Whoa.
And Sam's like, well, sure, maybe my wife loved pavlovas.
Right, that's
where I had a geology friend in college and we're going to go talk to him and maybe he can alert the me. You're crazy.
Yeah.
You're nuts.
That's crazy.
And then they
call the cops. Go for it.
Then they go to the New Year's party. Well, they go see the geology friend.
Sure.
They try to convince him. He doesn't buy it.
Well, because he's looking at a seismograph and there's no sign of anything coming.
And looking at common sense.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, back in the 90s, they weren't able to predict
Nope. Earthquakes like they could now, but still.
So they go back to the government research facility, whatever it is.
Okay.
They're still going to do the communications test.
Mm.
Eve starts walking back to her office like she did in the beginning of the story.
Oh, no.
That I did not tell you guys about.
Again.
And the aftershock hits.
Oh,
and that's where, so the aftershock hits, and that's when they started testing their new communications tech.
Yeah.
And suddenly she gets transported mentally 3 days in the past. Well, in this instance, because it happens again.
Does she get moved back or does she get
moved,
like to where she
goes
started?
Back 3 days in the past, but Sam figured it out and managed to get to her.
Sam.
So he like catches her before she bonks her head?
And they both get transferred back 3 days in the past.
Oh, so now he's aware of it.
Fuck. Is this like some groundhog day?
Yes,
and they're humping again.
Jesus. Thank you, Phoebe.
Okay. All right.
So they're at what, Matt?
No.
What type of research facility?
They're at a government research facility.
So a lieutenant looks at them and is like, "What are you doing on the floor?"
Oh.
And they're like,
"Your business.
We were trying to stop the communications test." And he's like, "What communications test?"
Mm.
And they look at this dude and they're like, "We'll get it right next time." Literally jumps forward three days. In the future.
Yeah.
And they managed to convince Phoebe. Do you want to guess what the geologist name is?
No,
that there
no.
was it was Sam's best buddy.
Is it Dr. Stone?
It's David.
It's David.
Okay. Naturally, it's a David.
Yeah, why wouldn't it be?
Who is now a national fucking hero for predicting an earthquake that almost decimated San Francisco.
You don't say. You don't say.
Of course. Does he give them any credit at all?
Nope.
Probably not.
What a not a one.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Goddamn David.
David
and
just
Sam.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
And Eve lived and succeeded through yet another New Year's Eve.
What the fuck? Okay.
Hence the name of the book, Another New Year's Eve.
There you go, guys. It's so fucking bad.
I don't like that at all.
It's string theory on its barest string theory.
Yeah. There's only three strings instead of however many there's supposed to be.
And this is going to segue to our next segment, but that will be, dear listeners, right after this.
After a word from our sponsors.
And this episode is brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Main Made Elixir Citrus Social Tonic.
Hey, Matt. Man, I've been invited to this Christmas party. I'm a little nervous. A little anxious, if you will.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to, like, talk to these people. Is there anything that you know about that could help me?
Well, what I always use when I have to go to a party is Dr. Lovejoy's Main Made Elixir's Citrus Social Tonic.
What is that?
Well, it's hemp-derived THC, and it also has CBG.
Yo, what's CBG?
Well, I like to call it CB Good Morning or CB Get Ready.
Oh, because it does it like lower your anxiety?
Well, what it does is it calms your anxiety and it gets you more sociable and ready for the day.
All right, man.
I think you should try some of
that. Let me give it a try. All right, I'm going to give this a taste. Dude, that tastes like sunshine in a can.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's delicious.
Oh, my word.
And it'll chill you out.
I'm ready to talk to people.
Yeah, you should be.
All right, guys. I mean, if you're feeling anxious about going to your next holiday party, Dr. Lovejoy's Main Made Elixir's Social Tonic is for you.
And we are back.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Welcome back, dear listeners. And we are here.
All both of you.
I'm gonna do this. Hey, Lauren.
Oh. Hey,
Lauren.
Shout out!
Thank you so much for listening.
Super
Lauren
fan.
Is one of our
super
fans. And if you want to be a super fan and give us a shout out, we will absolutely do the same
Heck
for you guys.
Yeah.
We love you, dear listeners. But now it's time for Phoebe to read that steamy. She has the steamy parts.
Uh-huh.
And Matt, can you help me with the pronunciation?
Yeah. She has an excerpt.
Thank you so much.
Excerpt.
Excerpt.
There's a P in this area.
There is a P there.
Caught you guys last time. The P.
I thought that would be a little fun thing that we can just add.
I love that.
Go for it, Peeve.
So, okay. I'm not going to lie. Again, as always, I only get the steamy parts. So
with no context,
I was
some steamy a la carte.
I literally thought this book, again, probably based off of the cover, was taking place in like the Great Gatsby 1920s,
30s
era.
96.
No, not at all. Not at all. Very confused.
With all the time jumping, it's very easy to get confused.
Well, I had no idea there was time to, I didn't know. I don't know. All I knew was Eve and
Sam
were getting together. And it was just like a very, very sweet and romantic thing. Which
it was in a really nice hotel room, though.
It was. Like, I don't know. I
feel like the dude from Jurassic Park. I spared no expense.
A nice penthouse suite.
Yeah.
We had one of those when we went to Vegas. We got a little upgrade.
So they get together and they make this sweet love that is unlike anything either one of them has ever experienced. But
just a good
beyond toe curling.
But then I get a little confused. And David, maybe you can clear this up for me a little bit. But like,
sure.
It sounds like she was a virgin. And he's like, oh, my God, I am so sorry. And she's like both laughing and not laughing and pseudo crying, but also hiccuping.
Yes. Yeah, so
it's
we
like
haven't...
anxiety induced
we haven't...
reaction.
Dear listeners, we haven't finished the story.
Oh,
no. Okay. I stopped and let Phoebe read the steamy. But
it made me very confused.
What happens directly after said boning?
Yeah.
Said steamy boning.
Sweet, sweet humping.
Is okay. Yeah, we can call it that.
We'll call it that, yeah.
Is Eve is walking through the dressing chamber, and I don't know if you've ever been through one of those rooms that has multiple mirrors.
Yeah.
And you can see yourself from different angles and different, and it looks like you have
see all the crevices and
all the crevices, all the angles, but it also looks very like there are millions of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Over
yeah.
and over
oh,
and over
yeah,
again.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is where she realizes that she has, Matt, done the string theory.
Oh.
She has jumped not from her body, but from her mind.
She pulls the Scott back in.
Into a different, she did not pull it. Yes, she did pull a Scott back in.
Quantum leap.
Holy shit.
Oh my God. I got it.
Yep.
I figured it out. I cracked the code.
She jumped, her soul jumped to a different timeline.
Oh, okay.
And that's how she's able to convince Sam that, you know, I know what your wife's favorite fucking dessert is. Right. And he's like, oh my God, you are from a different timeline.
Is that the technology the government was working on? That quantum leap technology, maybe?
Maybe.
With Chief Scientist Scott Bakula?
It was all
about
the Pavlova.
Chief Scientist Scott Bakula. Sorry.
So, you know, we've gone through the 3 days.
We'll get Scott Bakula on the podcast eventually.
Yeah.
I thought he was dead.
No.
No.
Cut that.
They rebooted Quantum Leap like last year, but not with
that
him.
That doesn't mean he's not dead.
Fine.
I'll look that up.
Anyway.
So anyway, towards the end of the story.
The show.
We're getting to the end of the show, but towards the end of the story.
Yeah.
Eve proves to Sam that she is from a different timeline.
Interesting.
By showing him that, or telling him that she knew what his wife's favorite dessert was.
Yeah, we covered this.
Yeah. And he's like, oh my word, I'm pseudo convinced. So they yeah, go to it. the government research facility.
We covered this.
To do
the second time around.
This is the another New Year's part two.
All right? Yeah.
And the earthquake happens and he's like, oh my God, you were right this whole time.
What?
And they bang again?
They did not bang again.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
But she's walking back towards her office just like she did in the first timeline.
Oh.
And Sam's like, wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute.
Connections
this is about,
made.
This is what's going to happen.
Oh,
and reaches her just as the aftershock hits and the new tech fires off.
Oh.
The quantum leap.
Quantum
leap happens.
And they wake up in a third fucking time.
God damn it.
And then they bang?
Nope.
Oh, what?
What a waste of
They week. Just bang the one time, but they're the in this time? Third timeline and they're on the floor and they're like, oh my word, look at, we've fallen on the floor. And the guard's like, what are you doing? And it's like a lieutenant fucking patrolling. The halls or whatever. He's like, what are you doing on the floor? And they're like, we'll get it right this time.
Oh my gosh.
I'm keeping it warm. That's settle crazy. Down.
They go through the same three goddamn days.
Oh my God.
But manage to convince the geologist.
Wow.
Who becomes a hero in the story. And
what?
Maybe I've been quantum leaping. I feel like we've told this part of already.
And they saved the day.
What the hell?
They saved the day.
They don't get to bang again. They get married.
They end up, do get to bang again eventually.
Well, we just don't get to read about it.
We don't get to watch.
No, but rude. They go through the same fucking day like three times.
They should have banged in front of all those mirrors.
Did this woman absolutely steal the idea from fucking Groundhog's Day? Yes. 100%.
Groundhog and then day, tried to put it leap, onto you know, add a string bit theory. Of fucking string yeah. theory yeah. and Die Hard in there.
Yeah. So
yeah, with some mediocre sex thrown in there.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it was only mediocre sex.
Oh, yeah.
We don't even get the good hard.
No.
It was
pumping that we've gotten in other books.
No, they just talk about like how chiseled he is naturally.
Right.
Obviously. Yeah. No dad bod.
No, but she's nice and curvaceous.
She is.
They don't
nice.
Talk about how well endowed he isn't, though.
No.
They don't talk about his dog. No, but no dangler.
They talk about how curvaceous she is and how she's like kind of embarrassed, but then not. She's like, you know what? Screw it.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for the dad bod book.
It was. Yeah, me too.
We get no representation. No representation.
You have a stepdad bod. I don't want to hear it.
Jealous.
No. I
stepdad
say,
bod is even more important than regular dad
is.
Bod.
It is.
Stepdad bod is way more important.
Way more.
I earned it.
So
what we have right now, dear listeners, is maybe Matt can help me with the pronunciation again.
Yeah, Phoebe's got an excerpt for you from the book.
It's that P. I can't say that P. Yeah, fucking P. It's silent, just like your name.
You have to enunciate. Enunciate.
All right, here we are.
All right. Listeners. So it starts with, and it was true. With Eve, he had been able to ride the forces of his deepest desires, and his overwhelming love for her had given him the freedom to let go during lovemaking, to release the feelings deep within his heart and soul, as well as to satisfy the needs of his body. So I save this quote.
Chiseled body.
Chiseled body. I save this quote because, like, as a woman, we... Or at least I do. I guess I can't speak for everyone. But like, I know that I want to physically express my love through said lovemaking. Yeah, that. And,
you're so
and
eloquent.
It's like in my mind, I want my partner to experience this. But is that like, is that something guys do too?
It's really weird that Matt's covering his ears through this entire explanation.
I'm wearing headphones.
It's a la, 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 la. No, I'm just kidding. So like, that's my question is like, okay, this is clearly written by a female author.
I think certain guys do.
Yeah. He just wanted to uninhibit himself all over her.
No. I know for me, if my partner is not into it, then neither am I.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So like it's pseudo, like I
there
feel
needs to
like
be that connection.
Yeah.
Like everyone needs to be in.
Very okay. much so. Very much so.
If I'm you're not... just like, yeah, I'm just going to just lay down and do whatever. I'm fine.
No, you have a palm or a fucking or a store that you can go buy a toy at.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, know. I personally have been known to cry because I feel that but like I feel that physical connection on like an emotional level. Okay. So it's more like I can feel the love and I'm like, is that something guys experience?
And then I get a panic
too?
Attack instead.
Yeah, Matt, yeah.
Well, there you go. I think that answers your question.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is wrong? Like, no.
He actually absolutely feels it, but he's wondering why you're crying.
It's not
panicking.
And then I'll start laughing hysterically because it's not
panicking.
Yeah.
It's not a bad reaction. I'm just saying that it's like you feel the actual.
And then I have
soul.
To drink a Dr. Lovejoy blueberry nightcap so I can settle myself down because you just threw me into an existential crisis.
That checks out, man. That checks.
Love you. No, it's because I felt your love. That's all.
Dear listeners, we went a little deeper than you expected.
I was just curious to find out from a woman's perspective, from a man's perspective, because like to me, that little paragraph said a lot.
From this man's perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do. I feel that same. I might not cry.
No, well, no, I wouldn't expect.
I might not cry. No, that's not fair.
No, that's true.
That's not fair.
No. I'm just saying that, like, you know, I don't know. When I feel intense emotions, I tend to cry. Mad, sad, happy, like you name it, I'm crying.
Oh, I can tell, like, jokes. Knee shaking orgasms.
Believe me, I'm gonna cry.
Knee shaking. Yeah.
Lose your shit.
Yeah.
Just crack.
Yeah. If my toes curl so hard that the knuckles crack, I'm gonna cry a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, what is?
Did I do something wrong? Wait,
well, you did something very right.
That's why I'm bringing this up, because in this book, she's crying after they have sex, and he's like, "Oh my god, like, did I hurt you?"
We never really addressed
the fact loved her so good.
Yes, we never. That's the thing is that
it's just a good.
Yes,
we never addressed the fact that she went back into this alternate reality,
mm-hmm.
and she was a virgin.
In that reality.
Yes.
That's why Phoebe was asking if she was a virgin. See, I didn't read this part.
I know. We're jumping way back to your listeners. Night. Sorry.
It's okay, though.
I know. Matt is curling his toes and not in the best
way.
But yeah. So a side note for this story is when they do actually become intimate, it turns out that Eve is a virgin.
Yeah.
In this timeline.
And
that helps her figure out she's only moved soul to soul, not body to body.
Yeah.
So she's conscious that she's changed times.
Yeah.
She has not been deflowered yet.
Well, she figures it out the hard way.
Oh, no.
She was like,
she ruined those hotel sheets?
Yep.
Yeah. And
thank
honestly,
you for that
she
tact
was
on that one.
She was actually kind of laughing about it. Yeah, it happened.
If you know,
it's fine.
Come on,
For sure, man.
He felt
for
so bad, like he was like, "Oh my god, I hurt you. I'm so sorry."
I think this is the funniest digression we have ever done.
This whole book is digression.
All right. Okay.
Because the book was so terrible, this entire episode is off the rails, and I kind of apologize for that. But again,
sorry. Nope, not at all.
Like we are off the rails with this throughout the whole episode.
You son of a bitch.
You didn't see that coming. No.
Not at all.
We didn't.
No. Yeah, we got the train.
Oh my god.
All right, dear listeners. I think we're going to wrap this one up.
I think we have to.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing left to say about this book.
No.
Except for do not read it.
Do we have a disclaimer now? Don't read this book.
Maybe we'll print that on some wine glasses.
I'm writing it down, boys.
Oh, no shit.
It's happening.
Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, guys. As always, I have been Matt, joined by David and Phoebe. This has been Paperback Bromance, brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs.
And I'm Phoebe, who reads the steamy.
Paperback Bromance is hosted by Matt Mulry and David Joseph. Phoebe is our giggly sidekick who does some fucking killer artwork for us. Written by me, the David guy. Produced and edited by Matt. The socials also fall on your silly ass. I'm so sorry, dude. Our book this episode was Another New Year's Eve by Phyllis Houseman. And our theme music is Devil in the Bottle by Icolix, found on the Free Music Archive. Please like, rate, review, and follow Drink Dr. Lovejoy's Maid Made Elixirs. Hey guys, we'll see you next time.
Bye.